What's good, y'all? For first-time listeners, welcome to the Words Matter Pod with Akil Pinnock. And for those who've tuned in before, welcome back. As promised, we're back with part two of Rebel with a Cause with Grammy Award-nominated reggae artist Black Hero. In the second and final part of this episode, Hero speaks about what it means to be an independent reggae artist in this digital age, the Jamaican music business, non-black artists making black music, what it takes to be a professional musician, smoking a spliff with Sir Paul McCartney, and so much more. I had a great time interviewing Black Hero. It's definitely one of my favorite interviews I've conducted thus far. He was insightful, and I learned a lot from his perspective on music and specifically the state of music in his native Jamaica. And I forgot because I didn't do it last week. I'd like to give a special shout out to my sister Jindai, my actual blood sister, for allowing me to use her crib for the interview. You can check out Black Hero's music on every digital streaming platform as well as social media. Please rate, like, comment, and subscribe. And remember, words matter.
You rarely hear about them anymore.
Yeah. The key is, I think what it is like building a fan base. It doesn't matter if you're signed to a major or not. You know, you have a fan base. Mm-hmm. That's what kind of keeps your bills paid. That's what kind of, you know, that's what helps you sustain your lifestyle. You know, with the music, I mean, when you were putting the music out, how were you getting it out there? You know, like, were you, it's on streaming, but were you actually selling physical copies at the time?
Not really.
Yeah.
I was really a digital kid. So I was like thinking like Russ them before.
Yeah.
I was like thinking like Tech N9ne or like a Currency or Wiz Khalifa like vibes. I was like, yo. That's why I made the THC, because I was such a big fan of Currency and Wiz. I'm like, what's a good entry point that's not too serious as yet? But Rary was like, weed. Everybody likes weed. You know what I mean? And it's not too serious and political. So I was like, all right, cool. So I was just using this thing called TuneCore.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So when I see people champing in TuneCore, I'm like, damn, I was using TuneCore from 2010, boy. 2013, 14. That's crazy. Just putting out one song at a time, figuring out the business. But that's how I was getting it out, using online, straight Facebook, Twitter, you know what I mean? YouTube, a lot of YouTube. And by the time the streaming platforms were just popping up, all right, cool, TuneCore. There was a next one, but I don't know its name. It's not active now, but it was before DistroKid and them. And that's how I was getting it out. And SoundCloud.
Yeah. So many careers built off of SoundCloud.
Love SoundCloud. Yeah. Loved it. Like, it was the thing. Yeah. Sure. Like, everybody just, oh, SoundCloud, man. I think that was just it. It's just using the internet. Nothing else, really. But, yeah, that was it.
Yeah.
Really and truly. Nothing else. No money on ads, even to this day, right now, putting out my first single on the album. Was like, yo, let me see what this does organically. Mm-hmm. I'm not spending no money, nothing right now. I want to see people. I want to believe that music can still do it, bro.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Itna Easy did. I spent $100 on that song to shoot a video. I had no money. I was broke. I was at my last, bro. I was like, yo, you know what? Itna Easy. Put out that song. Touring, dubs, money.
Mm.
Just the music.
Yeah.
So I'm good with it. Just the music.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of people are from, you know, born in the 90s, that came up in the internet era. Really, you're fortunate in that way to, you know, not have to spend that overhead on anything physical, you know, other than like equipment and stuff. But, you know, like, packaging of disc and you know, artwork and stuff like that, like, you know, physical stuff, so that it kind of, you know, keeps a little money in your pocket, but at the same time allows you to broadly distribute your music in a way where you're not actually, you don't have to be in the streets and touching people as much. You know, there was a time where you could pinpoint who discovered a certain artist, but, you know, because we live in such a direct-to-consumer world, like, you know, what we were talking about, when it comes to music, that really can't be said as much. Mm-hmm. I wanted to know, you know, who discovered Hero?
Good question. It's a good question. And I think that's where I am in my genre, in my culture. I think you just made me figure out why I am where I am and how people deal with me in my culture. Because nobody can say that. Wow. Mm. I've never thought of that. I was like, if usually people help you because they can just, or like propel you so they can say. But nobody did that.
I guess you could say from the early days when you were outside and your friend that you met at the bank, he was the one that kind of discovered you in a way. Like,
you could say that. But the French, like, all right, cool. Can't give him that. Because it wasn't like, after that, we kind of fell out. And then it wasn't like he put out music for me. After that. Like, I still was the one to put it out and work. Develop my shit. So it's like, but I will say, what I will say is, two people though I will give credit for like putting it really out there is Leslie Cooney and Protégé is the first person who I go up on like on stage or any news media and call my name and say like, this is the future, you know what I mean, and say, yo, the youth is incredible. That's when I put out THC and everything, and it was just like, yo. And even at one point, they want to sign me and all that, but you know what I mean? I was
Protégé wanted to sign you?
Yeah, it was like, art. Okay. He wanted to distribute the album I was working on at the time. Mm. So I wouldn't say sign, but he was very interested. And the vibe was cool. I was just a bit rebellious, and they didn't, I guess that scene wasn't sure. There was like a group of them that par, you know? I guess they weren't certain if I was going to do reggae or not, because I was so eclectic.
Mm-hmm.
And Full Circle ended up coming back and doing like, my song, which is like neo reggae or neo dancer, so it's reggae and dancer. It's just a modern touch. I feel like, you know, that's where I'm at right now. It's like nobody directly is broke. nobody directly like was a part of like setting it up initially, but now at this crucial point in my life. It's definitely Leslie.
Yeah.
And Delicious Vinyl for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can say they should get the credit for whatever anybody's seen right now.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was about to, you know, talk about Delicious Vinyl. Delicious Vinyl, I remember being on the internet like back in the day and just being in high school and just going back and searching like music from the 90s and stuff and, you know, like listening to The Far Side and stuff. Mm-hmm. The Far Side is signed to Delicious Vinyl. So, you know, just Delicious
Vinyl. They have Jay Dilla too.
Yeah, they got his catalog. So
got Tone Low.
So, you know, a lot of it's a pioneer for independent music and on the West Coast. So I wanted to know, you know, when did you sign with them?
So I was developing the relationship with them from about 2018, 2019. That's when I met Leslie. She came to Jamaica for other artists, actually. She didn't know of me or nothing. And she just saw me at the show that who she came to see. She just saw me and she's like, yo, this guy's fire.
Yeah.
We just hit it off, you know, smoke a joint with her, all that kind of thing. And it was a cool energy. And she helped me. She was like, yo, here what? Just let me distribute your music for you then, because it's a better structure than what you're doing now. And you should have all your catalog one place, and when you're ready to sign it, like, all right, she's giving me great advice. And I was about to sign like a pub deal, and because I just wanted the money, and she gave me great advice, which saved my life. Mm-hmm. So from you help me once, I'm more inclined to listen to it again. Like, all right, you give me good advice. Like, all right, let me see what this
goes. On a business perspective. Yeah. So
let's see what go. And man, it just developed from, you know, putting out the music, believing in me. And Jamaican artists, we can be, based on the past, we can be a bit unprofessional or chaotic at times. So they were we were all waiting to see the relationship develop. So it was no signing thing at first. So I just put up music.
Yeah.
But after a while, there was like, yo, we want to put out a project for you. I was like, all right, cool. At the time, I was really rolling with my virgin Wayne J. That's a younger artist from Jamaica.
He's, you collaborated with him?
Yeah. So they came to me initially for a project from me. I was like, I'm not so confident, like on my own right now, for like a project right now. I don't know about that. But what if we do a joint collab EP? I haven't really seen people do stuff like that. Let me do it with Wayne J. And I wanted to also give Wayne J a strength, because when he was the child star, he was like a Justin Bieber.
Yeah.
I never needed to see no international artists, because I was around a child star. Mm. People ran us down. People tearing the kids' clothes off of him. Women forgetting that this is a child. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, and I mean, I'm stuck at 6-7 years old, and he was the first one to bring me on stage. So I just wanted a full circle moment,
yeah,
to show my loyalty to you. I'll be like, yo, I'm up now, so let's do something together.
Yeah.
So did the project, even got Skilly Bang on the project. It was great. Skilly Bang was blowing up at the time. So that was like, we and him go at the same time. So mm-hmm. Like, perfect. Plan accomplished. So that's another good sign again. Like, oh, I did this with Delicious Final. It worked out. Everything just worked out. I don't know why, but it just worked out. We got 3 months on Apple banner.
Yeah.
We're just on Apple for not all genres. So when it was skipping and showing you what albums are out, yeah, we were there for 3 months. British Airways took up the song. You know me? It was just like that. The Young Boss was dubbed Skilly Bang's best verse.
Yeah.
By a vlog. So I'm like, sick. All these things adding up. That project did good. You know, it's growing. Then that's when I talked to Leslie and be like, yo, you should manage me. For sure.
Mm.
So it wasn't even about assigning. It was like, yo, you should definitely manage my career. And she hasn't managed anybody since, like, Mr. Vegas. And because she has success as well. Yeah. Everybody she's ever worked with is good in life right now. So I was like, that's a good sign. You know what I mean? She was the one that even discovered it wasn't me with Shaggy and was telling people, like, yo, that's the record. And they were like, nah. And when that song blew up, they was like, what are you saying again, Leslie? who you working with, dog? Because, like, how you... It wasn't me when Diamond. Diamond, bro.
Yeah.
So just to have that
one of the biggest songs ever, really.
So to have that ear, so all these things just met my trust, sorry, isn't it?
Yeah.
And then she ended up having a sub label under Delicious Vinyl called Delicious Vinyl
Island. Yeah.
And I was like, man, this is so cool. Like, it was just a perfect alignment, because it's basically just an island version of what Delicious Vinyl is,
mm-hmm,
which is bridging the gap between Caribbean music and hip hop. That's me. You know what I mean? Yeah. That's me in full totality. Like, I'm nostalgic enough because I can wail like a whale.
Yeah.
But my love, the modern, so I can chant or toast like a rapper.
Mm-hmm.
That's the balance. So it's like, it just makes sense. And I believe in 2020, after that project, it was just a done deal.
Yeah.
I was like, all right, cool. 2021, we're gone. It's not easy. Put out all that. Boom, another sign again. It needs just work. She was like, oh, I need 3 weeks to put out this song. I'm like, Leslie, I'm putting out this song in 7 days. And she's like, all right, fuck it. 7 days. And it worked. Just having that belief in me too, and be like, all right, fuck that. We're going to do this. And it worked. So, yeah, Delicious Vinyl Island is a good space, and they're having success. Like, I'm nominated in Ghana and in the Grammys.
Yeah.
Runkus has had the last Rolling Stone, the best 100 albums of the year. He was 94. Like, Yardcore's been touring Europe. And so that label, I think, is going to be the focus point over here. It's just for a major label to see it,
yeah,
and absorb that. Because what major labels don't have is a Leslie. Is a Delicious Vinyl Island. It's somebody that has 50 or 30 odd years of experience, 40 odd years experience with Caribbean music.
Mm.
Not hear me never just say Jamaican, I say Caribbean.
Yeah,
she's the whole, with Michelle Montana,
yeah,
Vegas, and it got all across the board. So you need somebody that can communicate the business to both sides, because the label want make money, the artist want make money, but how they make money, sometimes don't add up. They're like, what? You're going to put out 1,000 songs every week? No. What? No. That'll make label going to be like, no.
Yeah.
So you need somebody to tell the, that's going to structure it for the artist and make it make sense for
the
So that's what I think is going to happen. Yeah.
And, you know, that's... And that's your first record label you've been signed to, right?
Yeah, yeah. First.
So, you know, that's it's good that you have such a good relationship with them, because you hear so many horror stories. You know, we come up in the generation where we, you know, we watch all the Temptations movies and, you know, all of the movies with the bad contracts and the crooked managers. And, you know, every day you see a different music business horror story with an artist. So you're in a good place. A good time, I guess, you know, with some good people.
Yeah, my manager calls it fear. Though. She's like, things just work out for you.
Yeah.
Cool.
So, have you ever felt pressure to make music that wasn't true to you?
No. Because everything that... I don't know why when... What the majority of people like, it's rare that I find people that to like what I like. So majority of people just like microwave food. Mm. Even in their own lives, they prefer to buy fast food and cook a nice home-cooked meal. So that says a lot. So I've never once sat down to think, like, why would I want to change myself to make people like me that don't even like themselves or like anything? Isn't interested in anything. You don't have no idea. You don't have no tastes. You don't like texture. And so I'm just weird. So I've always just been in my own world with it and just be like, yo, whether they like it or not, this is what is coming from me.
Yeah.
Like, I can't stop it. So luckily there's just a few people that mess with it, man.
Yeah.
So I'm so happy for that.
Yeah.
I would hate to like think, I would hate to think of a multi, like a universe out there in the multiverse of me not being me. That's so weird. I can't imagine me being a...
Just doing whatever because you feel like it's going to be successful.
Just feels
yeah.
weird, you know? Because, like, I just don't. I just don't feel it. Some of the things I just don't feel. Even if I rate the artists, I rate whatever is out, just because everybody's rushing to it, I'm going to take a second.
Yeah.
I'm going to wait 3 weeks to watch John Wick. Nah, you guys talking about it too much. You're going to influence my choice, my decision, if I like it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I want to, you get me? I want to make my own decisions on what I like and what I, and music is still about what you like. Hopefully other people just like it too.
Yeah. And you're not the only person that's like you, you know? You can make music that's true to you and there's going to be somebody and then, you know, that somebody turns into... tens of thousands of people, millions of people, hundreds of thousands of people who think like you, who have the same taste as you. So, yeah, I mean, I definitely understand. I understand why artists feel pressured to make music that's true to them. But
I understand.
But, you know, I also understand why you would just make whatever is natural to you.
Yeah. Both. The thing about this music world, especially from the artist side, I understand every perspective because I have to deal with every thought. So I understand it, but just can't see myself, I do it. So I just not do it. Because for me, when people even ask me like, oh, your image, you're here, like, your planet, I'll be like, no, I just never want when me asleep, me hear a strangle me. When me I eat my food, I teeth my food.
Oh, so that's why you put food. It up. Yeah.
Yeah. And when the place too hot, me hear just a bit, man. So I just keep it up. And it stay up so much, I forget to even up sometimes.
Yeah.
It just become a thing. I prefer that be an image than me sit down and say, how am I going to become something with them can like? And, you know the narrative of them gear, women have to want to jump you and guys have to want to be you. I'm like, they don't really have to.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I don't want to sit on a planet. So same with the music, same way I care myself. It's either you like it or God go with you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
Yeah. You know, historically, many Jamaican artists, like we talked about this earlier, where Bob Marley became more popular in death. Mm-hmm. You know, many Jamaican artists like Bob Marley and the Wailers, they blew up internationally before they were appreciated back home. How well is your music received in Jamaica?
It's received very well. With me, I get that, like, well, I haven't been back there in almost a year, so I'll find out soon when I go back, like, underground how it is. But before I left, it was like a young sizzler. You know what I mean? I'm not the most polarizing figure. I'm not controversial. And that's what sells in the news. Yeah. So I'm not that guy. But I'm the guy who walk in the street and I have to walk with security.
It's a good place to be in, right?
I think it's a better space to be in than what I've seen my friends have got to. I know every single artist in Jamaica. And the 100-man Ronnie lifestyle, it's a constant psychological game because these are wolves and they will eat you. So you almost have to create a persona,
especially if you like a street artist, you know, you gotta like a lot of those guys, they come from living a illegal life with you or whatever, and they, you know, you gotta feed the wolves.
And what I found too is most of the youths, them were the artists, wasn't living that life. Them disperse, give off that energy because that's what they want to attract. They want to mimic what they see growing up. So if you see a man and walk with 100 men, everybody say, him are the artist. To be an artist, if you like, you need 100 men. So how my music is in Jamaica now, it's you always want it to, where you come from, you always want more love from them. But I've come to understand, like, the love for conscious music in the world, period, not just Jamaica, but Jamaica too. For sure. Conscious music is absorbed on a personal level. It's not played. It's not consumed in clubs. It's not consumed at weddings. It's not consumed at birthday parties.
It's true.
And this is where people gather. So that's why, you know, club music is just known more outwardly.
Yeah.
But if you should ask a person, you know, what do you listen to in your personal life? They would probably tell you something. It's a deep song that helped them through a moment. So I've actually accepted being that guy. My prefer be the therapist for the world.
Yeah,
like, sit with me while you're cooking, you're cleaning, you meditate, listen to me. Like, listen to me. When you go party, listen to them. Yeah. I'm more than one listen to me in a little. I don't want able life hard and easy. No, give me the escapism. You need a little balance. So, all right, cool. So, and I'm going to see it. I'm going to see now people's eyes. I'm going to see how them talk to me. Like, especially other musicians. So, an artist I'm going to look up to. Put him, like, on his own. Put him ego in a box for just come to you and say, yo.
Yeah.
A song I really, it forces you to have a change even for a second. That's what good, me feel good music is. Like, for real, like, if I never hear all the music, I tell me, say, don't take drugs, don't do this, don't do that. Like, bro, I have no tats, no piercings. Because of the music I was listening to. I never really follow certain things when I was younger. Like, when I get older now, I already have certain filters, so you can't change me again. So now, I know music powerful. So I kind of like the reaction to it. And even in the world, to like, especially in LA, like, I never imagine ever coming to the airport and people are stopping me in LA. Or I fly through Burbank, or I go Texas, or I go to CSA, take a picture with pilot. I say, you know my son? It's crazy. So views don't really reflect everything.
Yeah, it's true.
Because sometimes I feel like I don't have the highest views, but when I go in the world, like, if it's a 300 capacity venue and 250 people come out, like,
yeah,
that's damn near, that's 90%, bro.
Sometimes numbers lie in a way.
You know, I don't like it because how are you getting 100 million streams a month? And you're not doing a single show. And I don't mean a single show. I'm not mean the shows in your space that you should get. I mean, like, how is the world? Jamaica can't play 100 million times, bro. How are we not seeing you? I get the visa thing, I understand, but there should be some kind of change happening after a certain time. So it made me start realize, oh, and when you start say the same comment under every artist, I mean, say every artist says the same thing. Oh my God, I hope God bless riches and blessings to everyone that's reading this comment, to you and your family. Check every artist page, I say. Check the comment. Oh, the richest blessings of God and everyone that's seeing this comment. Oh, I'm gonna work with you one day when I blow up. Oh, song is dope. Who's still here?
Bots.
You know what I'm saying? So I just can't. Like, bots, bro, I need it to be real, bro. Yeah. I need it to be real. If I go on my Instagram and I see 50,000 followers, I'm like, that has to be real because I'm not buying a single thing.
Yeah.
I need it. Oh, so I want to get 10,000 views? That means 10,000 people. Or 5,000 people pay it twice. Or 2,500 people pay. Isn't it? Or 1,000 people play it 10 times. Like, my need for no. So that's how it is.
Yeah. Well, you said, you know, skydive is the reason why some dudes in France changed their whole lifestyle. You know, overall, like, how well is your music received abroad?
It's good. I really love it. It's even received better than in Jamaica, you know? To be honest, like, when I go on stages or go spaces where nobody knows me at all, like, and still perform, it shows me that I wasn't crazy. Like, when you have a song like Love, and I write that song and I'm like, you know, the love that I felt in the womb or the first kiss in high school, or that love that hurts when your friends turn. Like, when I see somebody in the crowd that don't know me, and I see a son and a mother standing, and they obviously look like they're having a problem.
Yeah.
And she starts to cry, and he hugs her, and they have a moment. And then afterwards, they come to you at the merch booth and be like, I've never cried like that before. And I think you've just helped me and my son mend some stuff that we need to. And I'm like,
wow.
That's what I'm talking about. That's really what made even my team believe in me. They're like, yo, are these people crying? I'm like, yeah, feel my shirt. So be like, yo, nah, this shit is crazy. So that's what made me even believe more too, because the people over here seems to need some heroic music more than Jamaica. They know all the proverbs.
Yeah.
They know all the sayings. They know all the bush tea to drink and what to do and what not to do. The people over here really are depressed, especially our generation. Like, they're very concerned about their future. They're worried the world's going to blow up. They're worried about so many things. So I just want to, like, solidly just bring what I think to the table. And I think people are going to just gravitate to it. Yeah.
I won't say that I'm, like, the most up-to-date person with everything in reggae and dancehall, but, you know, from seeing the culture and genre my whole life, it seems like the genre prioritizes hit singles more than albums. Mm. So, and you know, I may be wrong, but...
No, you're right.
Yeah, okay. So, you know, what's more important to you, you know, albums or singles?
In my personal time, when I listen to any music, it's albums.
Yeah.
I'm an album guy. So when some... If anybody asks me what's your favorite song, I always get upset, like literally mad as hell at them. I'd be like, yo,
don't answer. It's that. So difficult for me to answer like that.
How I can give you my top five albums. Yeah. And that's still hard. So, but it's easier. So I don't, but my personal career, how I choose to do things is, once again, in my own world, gut feeling. I have in my mind, there's a formula to like consistency to doing music. If I'm a musician, just like if I was a plumber or a carpenter, I should be daily doing what I do. Now, when it comes to releasing of music, it's all gut feelings. Like, oh, it's time for a song. Oh, it's time for a project. You should always feel that. You shouldn't just do it because man, do it.
Same. Yeah.
And that's the issue where I think is in Jamaica. The artists burn out because they feel like, oh, when I get one, I need one more soon. Need one more soon. I need one more soon. And when you run out of that as an option, that's
what
when
do you
they
do
albums.
Yeah.
They do albums when they burn out.
I never thought about it like that. I
understand that. Why wouldn't you do an album when you're fire?
Yeah.
Why would you wait till you're burnt out? So it just never added up to me.
Because the fans, you're not the only one getting burnt out. The people getting burnt out too.
Exactly. And they look at it, and now it's so obvious. People literally talk about it every day in their everyday life. Like, oh, it must start for Aunt Boss, you know. It must start for burnout. You can't see my use about the same lyrics there. Because you have voice 6-7 times for the week for 6-7 producers, 6-7 different sound. At some point, bro, you're going to just...
I didn't know that like that was really the formula for putting albums out, you know, because you look at like, you know, it's not even no disrespect to Spice, but like Spice been out for like since, I don't know, like 15 years or something like that. And she just put out an album like
a few years ago. Most of it is like with her specific people is like legal issues.
Mm.
She never like she and her label was at odds and they just didn't want to put it out. That's how vengeful. That's how this business is sometimes. It's a lot of internal conflicts, isn't it? So, but majority of the youths, them, if you realize, is after them do an incredible amount of singles run. Like, I mean, some people even get 10 hits back to back. Valiant right now is on an incredible run. And I fear that if it don't transition soon to... which the goal should be for every artist is becoming a touring
and
performing artist to be able to put out proper singles and bodies of studio work to put together a brand that can get endorsements and sponsorships and deals and for to later at some point sell your catalog for a retirement check. That is
what you start to see now a lot.
That's the four pillars, bro. Literally, of what this whole thing should do for you. So if you're maxed out the singles and you're doing nothing else, you're just going to fade. That's what I've noticed. And you could have an artist that puts out one song a year and does everything else right, or even one project or work, body of work for once every 3-4 years, and they'll never fall off because they're doing everything across the board. You realize, okay, Kendrick put out an album, what, 5 years ago before this one. So we saw him doing ad commercials still. He was doing the beats and them things.
Features.
Still. He was doing features. He was setting up his brand for a nice retirement check for the last album with TDE. All that is all good. Now he can do whatever he wants. That's the point. And he's a touring artist. While we weren't getting music, he was touring every year. Selling out arenas. So... you can't just... So the point of me being here, the point of me learning, the point of me coming here is to one day set an avenue like that, leave breadcrumbs, come back, be kind of an A&R, do something for the culture that makes them understand. It's... when I say 360, it's not a deal. It's your life. Like, you have to think about every aspect of this music thing and really try for understand who you go... increase all the stats. Like, all right, my max out the hits them. All right, my ease off. Breathe. Go take a trip. Go to the river. Learn some stuff for sing bowl.
Yeah.
Tour. That's what that's for. Mm-hmm. So put together some show. And if all of them not going to pay you $25,000, bro, just put together something. Go somewhere where you never go before. Mm. See who they're going to come out. Bill. Just do some other stuff. So that more on the... yeah.
Yeah. Do you think that your emphasis on, you know, and you having that laid out, like that four pillars system, and your emphasis on making albums comes from your love of hip hop? Because,
for sure. Love, like, because nobody not gonna say it. And even though hip hop is the number one genre, no, so them can't refuse it. Hip hop has made some of the best albums.
Of any genre. Yeah.
Just for its ability to literally collaborate with every genre. So, you can't just say the miseducation of Erica, but the miseducation of Lauryn Hill was an R&B album.
It was a hip-hop album.
It's a hip-hop album.
Uh-huh.
So, collab.
Yeah. It,
you can't say Distant Relatives is...
That's a rap and reggae album.
It's hip-hop. So, fusion, gone. You can't say... And this name one, bro. Any hip-hop album.
Or a name... Or, like, Drake albums. Drake albums are always a mixture of...
Always a mixture.
Of hip-hop and R&B.
And Kanye has had a super impact on my life, bro. Like, his mom's a cancer, mine's a cancer. Everything I've read about, I was like, man, he's so different. Like, he's the one that people don't realize. He'll go on TV and say some wild shit. That's me. I want to, you know what I mean? So, and then.
Well, not too wild.
Not too wild. But, but his progression of albums is so incredible. I don't think we'll ever see somebody like that again, bro.
Yeah.
Like, that's like a Michael Jackson run.
Every album is different.
Even Michael Jackson stopped after a point.
Yeah.
How do you go from fucking Graduation, all these things? How do you come from Dropout? How do you come from College Dropout, College Graduation? I mean, Graduation, then go to like 808, then go to
Yeezus.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Dark Twisted Fantasy, which is arguably the best hip-hop album. I don't care what number. Like, that album, there's a reason why he has 66 people singing on the song, bro.
I understand why you feel like that. I would disagree, but I did not.
Not the
but
best
it would, overall. It's up there.
His time, yeah.
It's up there, but...
it's sick. Like, so all I get of them, it. If we go through Jay-Z's albums, you're going to find some ones that are like, damn. Biggie's like, damn, how do you make an album for after you die?
Mm.
Life after death and you're dead.
That's actually what I think is the greatest hip-hop album of all time.
We're going to agree there for sure. That's the... You have good music. Because I don't know if people realize it. I'm like, yo, it's perfect. Like,
yeah.
Song, albums, I like albums that I don't skip.
It has a song for everything. And it could come out right now.
And still slap.
Yeah.
And still slap. So it's like, I feel hip-hop really. And Jamaica has, reggae has some classic ones too. Like, Inna Heights, Till Shiloh, The Real Thing by SZA. Bob Marley Confronted. Bob Marley has some of the most
True Democracy.
Yeah. Bone to Killer. My Experience or Experience.
That's the one with his face on the album. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That one was good. Like, we have had some good albums. Beanie Man's album where he had like Janet Jackson and Maya and the whole world.
Yes.
Like, basically, it was a great album with the Zim Zim and all them hits on there. And, you know, hip hop, do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's also, you know, I've never heard that from a dancehall artist, you know, like the emphasis on albums, you know. I think that it would really benefit dancehall artists if they prioritize that more, you know, not just hit singles, because it puts you in a cycle of just like, just always trying to be validated, you know, on a regular basis, mm-hmm. you know, at least like, you know, give the people some time. You know, the album may come out like every 1 or 2 years. So it's like, you could give people some time
to breathe
and then you give get validated time, again, yeah. instead of a single where it's like, you just want the validation every few months,
hot. Like,
yeah.
All the time, you're going to burn out.
I saw that you collaborated with UB40. You know, which is a racially mixed reggae group. And, you know, black people often get upset when white artists who participate in black created genres become more successful or receive more critical acclaim than black artists. I want to know how you feel about non-black or non-Jamaican reggae artists, you know, in general.
I can't feel any way about it because music is, it's not like, how can I put this? In a way that's so understandable. It's not like a pattern, like device. Like, it's not like a Tesla. Like, I can't come and if I appropriate the Tesla, I'm basically infringing on its copyright,
yeah.
and its pattern, and I can get sued. So I get that. But with music, I get music is copyrighted, and if you sample me, you have to pay me. Outside of that, I mean, like, music itself is free. it's not owned by anyone.
Yeah.
Music is, the genre isn't owned by Jamaica. It was created by, it was birthed here. But it's not, in a sense, ours alone. Meaning, like, we are the only ones that should produce this music.
Yeah.
We are the only ones that should love this. And I'm pretty sure, as we see in hip-hop, they've embraced Eminem and other people. So it goes to show you that the embrace is what makes it bigger, because you're introducing people that wouldn't have listened to it before to it now. You get me?
Yeah.
Because I'm pretty sure Eminem fans, they were like, probably weren't big, massive hip-hop heads until after that. So now it comes down to my real point, which is this. Once you've studied, researched, and done your due diligence on what you're doing, you know where it comes from, you know you're not a part of the culture, you know you're not from that space, but you love it, you respect it, you want to do it, you practice it from your child, you've been going to all these shows, like most of these white reggae bands that I've met and I've talked to them, they've gone to a Luciana show, they've gone to a Burning Spear, they're 6, 7, 8 years, 9, 10 years straight going to these shows. And when things got difficult, whether it was on the part of visas, on the part of the artist being unprofessional, because nobody wants to talk about that, on the part of artists being paid and not showing up, these artists made a way for themselves in their own space because there was a vacuum. Simple put. And they worked their butt off, because it's even hard for them to validate themselves in a space that is not theirs. So I will say this to say is, nobody has it harder in a genre than a person that's not from the genre. So I actually feel a little sad for them, because if money is the only thing we're using to watch, then it's kind of a lame argument, because money in general, for everyone, you have to figure it out. And if we've had this genre for so long and we've had success for so long, and somebody can come over the last 10 years with due diligence, research, respect, can make more money than you, what are we not doing?
Yeah.
You telling me it's just the skin, bro? Are you crazy, bro? Music, when you listen to a song, do you hear a skin?
Yeah.
Can you feel the person's skin? So much music, my ear, when I think I did black people white. Some holy pot whole soul song. That was a black guy. That's white. Billy Coach, with the guy that died the other day.
I thought
that was a black guy. So you can't tell. So my debate is, we're at a point, especially reggae, where all hands on deck are needed. It's like a football team. We need a coach.
Bobby Caldwell.
Caldwell, there we go. We need the technical support. We need the coaching staff. You know, not just the 11 man on the field or the two star players at the front that score the goals that we only talk about. We need the goalie. We need the defenders. We need the midfielders. We need the PR. We need the marketers. We need the videographers. We need the podcasters. We need every person that respect and love this genre on the field working.
Yeah.
And they've helped, because thanks to us, we have them, and thanks to them, I have a space to come and perform in California, a platform that is readily available to accept me and my music. So I don't know how else to look at it, really and truly. I've sat about it and I've thought about it. UB40 has nothing but love and respect for the culture. Them making money off of it has nothing to do with the love and the respect for the music. That's just business.
Yeah.
And we've learned that, yes, thanks to the setback of teaching, lack of education, oppression, suppression, we get that part of it. They don't teach us about business, but that's us. We have to figure out the business.
Yeah.
It's not the skin that makes the business better. It's the brand. It's the business, bro. Like, I know people that of many race, bro, are stupid rich.
Yeah.
What is common between them is how serious they take the business, how shrewd they are. That's why I need a manager. If I step into the place and you're my friend and we're doing business, I'm going to give you a discount, bro.
Yeah.
I have a heart. A manager be like, you give him a discount, give him 2%. I'm just gonna give him 50. You get what I'm saying? You need people like that, bro. So big up everybody will do, especially reggae and dancehall. Big up, big up the people in Europe, in America, in Africa, in Asia, we do and love reggae music. Because thanks to you, Lila Ike just toured Japan. Thanks to you, I'll be there soon. Thanks to you, I'll be in Ghana and Kenya. I'll be doing more shows in California. I'm just the South by Southwest. We're just the SOBs. We're doing shit that legendary people do too, because people come over here. And people are over here already doing it. So yeah. I have to just respect that.
Yeah. And I think you're adding also, like, you're saying that you need to have a certain level of seriousness and professionalism. You can still have that and still be yourself, and you know, yourself. Without selling yourself out. Mm-hmm. You still got to have that business acumen, I guess, professionalism, you know, just overall.
Or just take yourself, my bro, just take yourself serious. Like, know what you're worth. Like, one thing I love about, like, being around, like, all the Shaggy, like, my mentors, them or whatever, is hearing their experiences around their legend.
Yeah.
They look up to. Hearing him around Sting and then watching an interview and then seeing the energy sometime when you get to be around them is like, they laugh, they smile, they have fun. You see when it's time to put on that music cap, bro, and put on that business cap.
Yeah.
We're not smiling. And that's what most of us don't have, because the creative side is fun. It's glamorous. The business side. I've just learned recently while making this studio album, a real album is where good songs meet good paperwork. It's not an album if you don't have paperwork. Mm. It doesn't even count.
Yeah.
So I was like, wow, I could make 10 best songs with 10 people. I have to now go back, and over the next 2-3 months, that's why albums take so long. Each person has to get a paperwork that has to be signed. Mm. And we have to agree on numbers. Cause ain't nobody coming back to sue nobody.
Yeah,
that's how it really works. Mm. So that's what they have over us, man. It's not the skin. It's not the whatever we think they're appropriating. Is that they're in a space where, you know, they see the knowledge, they read the books, they access it, they put the right people around them. They're not nitpicking and worried about what they're giving up to this person, or this person's trying to take this from me, or the fight that's only in our minds, or this competitive nature that's around them. You'd have two white people that hate each other and do business. Yeah. You'd have two black guys that hate each other and kill each other, bro. I would never do business, even if it benefits them both. Mm. You get me? You'd have, like, even in the industry, we know that Drake and Kendrick probably is not as cool based on the music shots. But they have songs together.
Yeah.
And if they're going to be on a stage show together, the other person's not going to go to the promoter and be like, if he's on the show, I'm not doing it.
Yeah.
That is what we do. Mm. Why are we not talking about that? That's what's holding us back. Not them. You know what I mean? So I did some media with it.
Yeah. But, you know, also, there are, of course, you know, some artists that have that professionalism, and, you know, some black artists that have that professionalism, and, you know, can't give white people all the credit.
No, but when I say that, is not even to, we're not even talking about them.
Yeah.
Because it's the ones that don't.
Yeah.
Are the
ones
that always talk and say they are taking from us.
Yeah. No, I get you.
The people that are doing it, you never see Jay-Z say nothing about nobody in the hip hop.
Yeah.
Or Eminem. Why? He's doing it.
Yeah.
So I've come to understand too, is like, success and lack of success changes your opinion. Because if you're doing it and you're seeing success and you're out in the world and you're traveling and you're seeing what's happening, you'll be like, oh, I get it now.
Yeah.
You're not just taking it from the media. You're not just taking it from a social media post or one guy ranting off and you just want to agree with him because you rate that guy. You would notice that, oh, if I'm just about mine and doing my thing, I'd be in the same position too.
Yeah.
Fine. Cool. Mm-hmm. So the professional musicians in the space that are black know them. We know them. We actually know them. They're the ones that stand out.
Yeah.
They're the ones that get it right. They're the ones that never take drugs and fall off. They're the ones that never get into crimes or get into rape cases or do. They're the ones that we look up to right now. Mm-hmm. Have you ever heard anything bad about Kendrick?
No. Only thing we heard bad from him is what
he said on his on the therapy session and the cheating. Yeah. And that's him. Well, I've never heard it. Those are the ones you got. And even if he had a drinking problem, he said, you know, I had to nip that in the bud.
Yeah.
I don't smoke weed. He nipped his stuff in the bud.
Yeah.
Because he see what it takes to be a professional musician. So the ones that do, you see the sacrifice. Yeah. You don't see them at the club. You don't see them doing nothing. You don't see them with no bag of jewelry. You don't see them with the flashy cars. They buy a nice, modest house. Kendrick could have easily bought a $15, $20 million house.
Bro. Yeah.
He bought a $500,000 house, bro, which is still a good house.
Yeah.
So I'm just trying to show you, like, J. Cole, all these people that we see, they are the professional ones.
Mm-hmm.
Not the ones that we see in the club fucking it up and throwing the money all the time. That's cool. Live your life. But we know the ones that are professional. And they would never say anything about anybody using their culture because they know at the end of the day, you can't take it from me.
Yeah.
You could never be me.
Exactly.
You can't enjoy it like I can, for real.
Yeah.
You can't. White people, Eminem can't get up and sing, nigga. You can't feel what that feels like, bro. You can't feel what it feels like. So don't get upset at them. They can't even feel it.
Yeah.
They just do it because they see you do it and they just love it, bro.
Yeah.
They can't get up and be like, yo, bumbo clout, your ass got pussy, can't feel that shit. So that's the truth.
Yeah. You know, it's...
it's true.
It's true. But that takes me into my next question, you know, about like the content, right? You know, you just said nigga, you bumba clot, Ross clot, all that. You know, violence and lewd content has always been a controversial topic in dancehall. You know, now the hot topic is the glorification of lottery scams and, you know, the Obia and the music, which has, you know, been taboo for a very long time. How do you feel about this content?
Once it's in music form, I don't know what to think because I don't think of anything as bad music or art form. I don't think of anything as bad, derogatory once it's art because now it's just expression in a creative manner. So it's like, oh, I can understand how it may... It's not even like an opinion that can harm people. It's just art.
Yeah.
It's how you take it. So I will say this, though. I think we're just in a time of... whatever is in the dark must come to light. That's why so much cases are coming out. Who done this and pedophilia and all this knowledge is surging out. And in not knowledge, information is surging out. It's because whatever is in the dark must come to light. Just because it's taboo doesn't mean it wasn't happening. And we live in an era now where these kids aren't, they ain't afraid to show nothing. You have a girl brawling, go on social media, be like, yeah, I'd eat you and your mans right now. So they ain't afraid of nothing, bro. So they're just going to talk it real like how them see it. So if they're around it 24-7, they must see people and do it. Everybody have a lick. If everybody me know in Jamaica, no a lick of your person. Me no know not one. I don't know nobody that works science. Me no know one. And I don't want to know one.
Yeah.
How you know one? How you know one? How you know one? All I want to know it. So them just a sing what they must see. And scamming is happening. I don't know why nobody just want to say it worldwide, even before Jamaica sing about it. It happened from even systematic levels, bro. So let's not get too deep into what scamming is. But in Jamaica, nobody don't want to say this either. If it wasn't for scamming, a lot more people would be dying.
Because they would be doing like...
there would be no money. There'd be no poverty. There'd be extremely more poverty. And that would lead people to do extremely more bad things.
More violent crimes.
Exactly. Yeah. So at the end of the day, they're just singing about what's changing their lives, what's seeing them, or what they think is doing it. Because if you see a man over there that you look up to, all this time you're seeing with all the things you've ever desired, you finally get to reason with him. And him say, you want to know me really get this mic, bro? I'm go up on my phone and I'm going to do this. And while I'm there on my phone and do this, I sprinkle two little thing on. I do my thing. At first, yeah, I go say, you know, I'm in them thing, you know. But when 3 months down the line, when you're tired for starve, bro, when you're tired for see the man I pull up in them bins, when you're tired for see your light or your water cut off, you go give in, and then just all you have to do is give in one time, you know. from it work one time, you're not stopping. Mm. That's all you need. So the culture now, worldwide, coming in like the zoom in from Jamaica, worldwide, because if you listen to hip-hop, that's why it's so hard for me to find a good hip-hop song. If it's not sex, drugs, cars, oral sex, guns, fast life, it's literally only that now.
Yeah,
I've not heard a song about how somebody truly feels in a long time in hip-hop.
Well, I guess I mean on a commercial level, you hear those things.
All right, so even if myself on a commercial level, when my parents were alive, would have songs like, you know, they don't care about us by Michael Jackson. Yeah. On a commercial level, would have a Marvin Gaye's singing blues. Yeah. They have Superstition, which literally is telling you a lot about life.
Yeah.
So why our commercial litany need for change? Why does the music have to get worse for the commercial? That wasn't the case.
Yeah.
So now it makes me feel like, oh, this frequency creates the environment that makes more money.
Mm-hmm.
Simple.
Yeah.
If you're sick, I make more money off pills. If you're drinking, I make more money off the drink. If you need to escape, you're going to drink. If you need to escape, you're going to use drugs.
Yeah.
And it's already illegal and I make so much money off of it. So it's just... Bro, I have to just be realistic. I'm living in this world. I'm not even on the side like previous generations or an older person on their way out or a baby on their way in. I'm living in it for real. So my answer is just going to be a little bit more perspective. Because I could just come up here and say, yeah, man, the music, they're fuckery. That shit music. Yo, what kind of science? What kind of bumbuckler? A foolishness that. Or I can sit down and literally tell you what I understand, because I know what's happening. Like, the youth them are wait for the culture embrace somebody like me for once. For embrace somebody like Bob Marley for once. And not wait till that person is either dead or far removed from the culture where you can't access them like a Jimmy Cliff.
Mm.
We can't relate to that. We only can relate to somebody who see come from the ghetto, him within reach. Don't wait till that person leave and then they only have examples now of. So if my only I see one thing and get promoted, I want to make money. So why wouldn't I just do that too? Skilly sitting in an interview brawling and it's like everybody deaf to him. I say, yo, when me put out the universe and the lyrics and the bag of thing, me actually I try. It not get nowhere near the views. Like, I'm going to go wap, 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 wap. And nobody can't even fight him upon the idea because it's true.
So you got to look, you know. So I guess you're saying you got to look more inward to yourself when you critique this music. Yeah.
You said, true, he's a professional with these words at the podcasting. That's exactly what I tried to say. Before you look upon the music, what about you? What is it saying about you?
Yeah.
What does it say about society and what it has accepted and what it has made the youths, the future of our world? The youth, them always say, youths are the future. They are going to be the ones. The world where you set for them and you're telling them that. Fuck them, I hate my foot of this shit. Come on, really respect Tommy Lee. But you showing me that a hardened criminal, a man where you just lock up, do a crime, we sing the music, we want to say I fuck up the place, can come out and go right on the biggest stage show in Jamaica.
Mm.
While I have never been booked for a Sumfest in my entire life.
Mm.
And I've had records that are big in Jamaica.
The hypocrisy. That's what it is. Yeah.
So, I'm going to know what else to say.
So, you know, speaking of like, you know, Skilly Bang and you know, Tommy Lee Sparta.
Mm-hmm.
These guys have, you know, like the content that we were talking about, you know, the crime and the violence and stuff like that. And, you know, Jamaica, going back to Jamaica being a conservative, like pretty much Christian country, a lot of these songs are banned on the radio. So what are your thoughts on the censorship of music?
It's like the censorship of drugs. You know, it goes reverse psychology. If you tell me don't do something, I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
So I think that's just a very lame approach. You're just forcing them to. When them did tell me back then, stop listening to cartel, you know what I did? You know what we did as a generation?
Listen to cartel.
It was way more. Turn it up. Champion him. Because now you're telling me, the person where we relate to, you don't like them, that means you don't like we. So we don't like you neither, bro. We don't listen to radio, so we don't care. Worse now, where we really don't listen to radio. Like, we have streaming. Like, you can't tell me what to do. And in Jamaica, you play top 40 American music. Anyways, it's not like even they play we. You know? I have to sneak on my song. I have to ask a friend for you, put on this night playlist. The top 40 would have never be 20 Jamaican songs and 20 American hit records. No, it got to be 38 hit records and 2 Jamaican songs. That's a juggle through it. So, you know, we don't care about you or the streets. So, the sensory is just, I think once again, them thing that just proved to me, say, that's why we just not have 80-year-old people that run a country. If we have 70-year-old people that run a business, we have them advise and guide younger people in that position to lead, because no one just, you just don't have no more tactics left. You don't have no more solution. So you ban when Carter come out, which was 10 years ago, how much years ago, you lock him up for 11 years, and you come back and you got to ban back a next guy, and then you got to ban back a next guy, and we just now going to listen to you.
Yeah.
But they just link, I bet they didn't link some young artists like all we are champion some conscious musician, do some programs, some skits, some ads, create content, and make them see something different, bro. Like, you know what I mean? The tactics them just lame, bro.
Yeah.
So the sensory thing will never work, because radio don't cater to us anyways. It caters to corporate and advertisement. Advertisement and corporations don't care about me.
Yeah, I always say that the radio is just basically like a corporate
playlist.
Corporate playlist, like
simple.
It's an audio advertisement, pretty much.
Basically,
yeah.
And if you don't fit even the tempos and the sound and how certain things play for that to be sold, you're not even on it. So
true.
Pop music alone play on radio.
Yeah, true. Popular, yeah. This year you attended the Grammys.
Yeah.
You were nominated for your feature on Rocky Dewani's Never Bow Down. You were nominated in the same category as Burna Boy. Mm-hmm. You know, Last was one of the biggest songs of last year. Mm-hmm. But did you have the slightest feeling that, you know, maybe we could win this?
Just being there, you have a 25% chance. Of course. Yeah. It's like four of us. It's like, all right, 1, 2, 3, 4. All right, we have a chance. We have a 20-25% chance that we can win. But I really thought it was going to be a 50-50, because I just thought we were going to lose to Burna straight up. I was like, there's no way we're beating that. There's nobody. I thought nobody in that song was beating. On that list was beating that song. That song has arguably had a hold on us when it came out. So I was like, all right, if we lose to Burna Boy, it's cool. 50-50. Because I didn't know the other two. And when we were there, for us to lose to a white guy playing a flute, I was devastated. I was like, not devastated to lose the nomination. I was devastated that Burna didn't win.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't even know the flute song.
That's crazy.
So I was like, I was just, and that's when now, the fantasy of being at the Grammys faded.
Yeah.
Because I was there the whole time and I was like,
in the moment, wow, amazing.
Nominees.
Yeah.
And then I saw the choices and other little things that made me say, oh, okay.
Would you go back?
My father had this thing that says, you can't preach to the people that are saved. You have to go where the sinners are.
Mm.
So I can't bring reggae to spaces that already have reggae with it and do something new, you know what I mean? So I think anywhere that this image, this rebellious nature, this frequency can be seen and heard, I'm going to be there, not for the thing, but for what I bring to the thing. Because just being there, the outfit I wore, everything changed. I seen like Essence and them was putting on, men, please wear more prints. You don't have to wear tux alone. Because everybody was in a tux. Yeah. Every man was in the same tux, basically. So I'm like, even just that changing, that seeing this here. Because I remember seeing Steel Pulse, seeing David Ains when I was young, and I didn't know I was going to.
His hair is iconic.
I didn't know I was going to be that inspired, because I was inspired. I saw it and I was like, damn, what the fuck is that? That's cool. And here I am. Him calling me Slim Pulse. So these things have an impact on you, whether you like it or not. So just, and when I was at the Grammys, I had a, there was one of the interviews was a young girl from Ghana. And I knew my music was playing in Ghana, but I didn't know that it was playing so much that even the youths, like babies, are knowing it now. And she's like, it's really good. It's really good to see so much representation of Africa and the Caribbean at the Grammys. It makes you feel like anything is possible. And so just to quote you what she said, like, anything is possible once you put your frequency in the space. Somebody could be watching it on the TV way somewhere and they just be like, oh, that's kind of cool. You know what I mean? Reggae? Yeah. I've never heard of reggae, but Jamaica. The fuck's a Jamaica? You know what I mean? I want to go there, you know? So that's what I think I should do. Like, just anywhere I'm called and it makes sense, I'm going to be there, leave that energy and watch that seed grow.
Yeah. So, you know, I guess based off what you're saying, you know, you enjoyed your time at the Grammys, though. You know, nonetheless, you know, it was a disappointment. Well, I guess because you kind of felt like you were going to lose, but you didn't know you were going to lose to who you lost to.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess that's in a way, that's a good mentality to have going into that situation, because, you know, you could still find the space to enjoy yourself still. Mm-hmm. How is it to, you know, bun a spliff with Paul McCartney? Sir Paul McCartney.
Man, that thing is still going viral. I don't even know why. Like, I thought he was an avid ganja smoker. I thought this was
It was a normal thing.
But I guess he had said something at some point in his life, say stop smoking weed because of his kids. And so to see him smoking, it's like, oh, he's you know, they're like spinning it. But I don't even know how to feel about it, honestly, because it's just like, I smoke with so much, like, I think this is the only one I've really posted up.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of, like, bro, I wish I was like every other person.
Yeah.
Like, I've been around so much legendary people, that to me, the reason why I'm around them is because I think they're normal.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they like. So it's like, I think he just gravitated to me because I was the only one there that obviously, yeah, I'm a rated, I'm one part of it. But in my mind, I was like, oh, that's Paul McCartney.
Yeah.
You don't want. Walks come on.
Yeah.
So I'm like, that's just been my life. Like, I smoked with fucking like Yay.
Yeah.
Jamaica. I smoked with fucking a lot of people, bro. Because Kanye came to Jamaica for a free concert.
Mm.
And to all my networks there, anybody that come to Jamaica, I'm going to know from them reach the airport. Because I used to live near the airport.
Yeah. I'm
a friend of everybody. So once you land on Mobe or Kingston, I'm going to know say there. So I'm going to know when, I'm going to know. Like, me didn't know when everybody did it. And everybody's always there.
Yeah.
Dua Lipa just left. People's always in Jamaica, bro. Silently, too. Like Jay-Z and them, they went to my ex-girlfriend's house to shoot the On The Run tour clips.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
I meet all these people and I never take a picture, bro. I never take a video. And I never really post them up like that till recently in my career, like just what they. So I think I'm gonna have to start doing it somewhere.
Yeah,
you know, I like content. The reaction there. Yeah, you know what I mean? Or just enough people to say, yo, once again, back a yard, say, yo, I get to you this, you know?
Yeah.
Is that you this way? Come from poverty, you know, you like, how about we do that Beatles? Yo, me can do it too. Adapt me do it for like, yo.
Yeah.
What?
And to show you that these people are regular people too, you know. And you'd be surprised, like, even though, you know, doing this podcast, reaching out to people who I feel like are like super big, high profile, and they, you know, they respond to you and they respond in like a timely fashion, you know. So, so, you know, you'd be surprised. But, you know, I mean, Paul McCartney, they blew up in the in the 60s with the hippie era and free love, and you know, they're from England. They probably, you probably look like a dread they probably saw in Birmingham back in those days.
That's exactly what it was, because it's like, they were just like, something smells good. That's literally, they were just like, something smells good. And I was like, that thing.
Yeah.
And that was his daughter who said it, and then he just peeped over her shoulder and be like, get out of here. And I even looked at him like, I was like telling him to be careful. Like, hey, yo, it might be a bit strong. And he just looked at me like, you must not know who I am. Like, you know, he's just like, do you know how much weed I've smoked, boy?
You don't know. You don't know how high he was, though, when he left. He was probably higher than he ever been.
I'm just so happy, though, that the family is cool about it. Like, they're not like, you know, they're not like mad about the video. So I'm good.
Yeah. What advice would you give upcoming reggae and dancehall artists from Jamaica?
The advice would be is just know you're coming into a genre that wasn't supposed to be here. You're coming into a genre that still isn't supposed to be here. You're coming into a genre that always gets the lowest budgets from every label. That always gets the least looks, doesn't get the biggest platform, but it's a genre that when it goes,
it goes. Yeah.
And it goes bigger than any other one. So what I would say is just do it. Do it with a smile. Do it with a sense of decorum. Do it with a sense of happiness. Do the hard work that comes with this genre, with this music, with this field, with this career, with a smile, and you'll be good. Yeah. Just do it with happiness, do it with professionalism. If you have an interview, if you have a show, and it's not like how it was yesterday, gotta approach it the same way. So just do it. I like Nike's slogan. It's simple. It's two words. You know, it's three. Just do it. But I'm going to add to it. Just do it with a happy energy. Do it with a professional energy. Do it with a good frequency, as best as you can.
Yeah.
And it'll work out.
Mm-hmm. And what's a dream collaboration for you?
Michael Jackson. Straight up. I seen Drake do it, so I can.
Yeah. They gotta be a verse somewhere.
Somewhere. Somewhere.
Some engineer got a verse.
I know somebody has a DMX verse. I know somebody has a Bob Marley verse. So it's out there.
Yeah. People still got Juice WRLD verses. People had Tupac verses. Posthumous Tupac verses.
Man, you Juice WRLD got whole albums.
Yeah.
He has so much work. Yeah. Like, because I'm working with Rex. Rex was one of his producers. And he's telling me about how BB and it. They're like, yo, can't run out of verse.
Yeah.
It's like Carter. Can't run out of music, bro.
Hmm.
He was going hard every day.
Yeah.
Can't run out.
Nipsey, people got Nipsey verses.
Yeah. So yeah, Michael Jackson. I want to work with Smino. I have a collab list right now that's pretty dope.
So you and Smino, I think that will work.
I just found out he's a Libra too. I got it. It's over.
Yeah.
I really like his music. It's dope. It's different. I want to work with Mariba. I want to work with. There's just something about, and I just realized yesterday with reasoning with my friends, like, I think I'm a real LA hip hop head, man. Or like California music. Like, I love East Coast hip hop too, and South, but it's like, there's just the beats. I think I like how California music is so up tempo. Like, California, all these things, like even the Bay Area with like the E40s on them. Like, I really like how
the synths,
how they slap. So, I have a lot of dream Cali collabs, like a Snoop, like an E40, like, you know, a Smino, like a even Kendrick, people don't. He's not this, like, I guess he's a little bit current in the space though, but I think Game is a prolific writer. When he raps, I think he should just stop talking and just rap.
That's a lot of people's thing with Game, you know. Like, I think the things that he says, but you know, his discography is one of the best in hip hop for sure.
It's crazy. it's crazy, like, how we view him. Yeah. And when I listen to his music, like, damn, this is the one time where the personality just not matching the music. So, like, how you can take Jay-Z's catalog and be like, yeah, I can see that.
Yeah.
Jay-Z carries himself like that. Or even like Rick Ross. Rick Ross has a great catalog, too, that people sleep on. Because if we're talking about from the hustling all the way from Port of Miami 1 to Teflon Don, which is arguably one of the best music of that luxury rap type. Like, anybody that's doing luxury rap, Teflon Don is unskippable. Literally. Like, every song on it.
Teflon Don and Deeper Than Rap.
And Deeper Than Rap. There we go. So, and I like certain aspects of Meistermind. So, like, you know what I mean? Like, it's just sick, bro. Like, the collabs in my mind are just sick.
Yeah.
Like, what I want to do, I want to work with Tommy Lee. I want to work, I'm working on it right now. I want a song with Vybz Kartel. You know what I mean? Yeah. And a song with Bob. I'm going for it. My list got a couple dead people.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. Yeah.
What would you be doing if you weren't making music?
A neurologist. Surgeon. Yeah. That's what I was studying when I was younger, but my parents couldn't afford it. So I was really interested in the brain.
Yeah.
I was like, I was only interested because I wanted to know how to turn 5% to 50%. I was like, if I'm only using 5% of my brain, like, what would 50 be like? So I just wanted to study the brain and be like, access it and do some shit like some dolphins and talk telepathy. Do some shit, you know. I was trying to unlock superpowers, bro. I'm not even lying. I was like, yo, this is the avenue to the superpowers. Like, anything this thing does, this thing does. So
that's that's true.
Outside of that, I have no idea what that'd be, bro.
Yeah.
Probably a Donna or something. Like a mafia or so. like a fucking cat. Like, what's his name?
Dadas.
From the Narcos. Nah, even bigger than that. Like, what's his name?
Pablo.
I'd be like, Pablo. Because those people are just master. Like, they talk their way out of shit. Literally. So, I think that people.
Well, you can still have those skills without doing the things that they did, you know, to make them money.
I'd be doing it. You can't have that power and not try to, like, you know, blow up a few courthouses or something.
What overall message do you want people to take away from your music?
Why fit in when you were born to stand out? That's a cheat. I'm cheating. I don't know. What I want people to take from the music is that we're all literally living the same life, just in a different way and in a different body and in a different, we're given different perspectives of it, different angles. So my music is just to show you, hopefully, how I'm doing it, and you could be like, oh, it's really not that different.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like when you talk to people, especially when it's in your same community or like race, and you'd be like, your mom used to do this, or like, you know, and you're like, yeah, my mom used to do that too. Like, or you'd be like, oh, you guys used to do this too. Oh, yeah, we used to, oh my God. It's like, oh, so we're all living the same life. Our perspective on our angle of it is just different. I'm like, oh, so. That's what I want you to take from the music is like my perspective really should align with yours at some point because every human is similar. There's not one human being that's not similar. We're all similar. Even if you were born with no hands, no feet, you've got blood in you, so we're similar.
Yeah.
You've got a heart. Even if you only have one lung, one kidney, we're similar. And there's nobody that's not born with every single thing now. Come on. It's just a husk. You're not alive then. So we're similar. So we should have similarities. We should connect. And that's where unity is going to come from. That's my solution to unity. Like, we have to connect. So that's what I want to take from the music. My songs are actually conversations.
Yeah.
If you really sit down and listen to it, it's like if we was here talking and I was like, Janoit grieve me number that like yo return ready na dog. Easy na dog. What do you have my friend and my family them man them not deceive me, brother? I'm just like, yeah, you are sitting like, yo, so what go on? People people are trying to deceive me, dog.
Art reflects straight reality.
You know what I mean? And they said to me, said, yo, man, I left in a, yo, hope you make it to him this evening, you know. All right, bless up, bro. The whole song, like every time home me write, is a conversation.
Yeah.
More you can listen to it and be like, while you listen to the song, you're supposed to have questions in the pockets in between the words. Are you supposed to be like, "Ah, that him say?"
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Or like, oh, cool, but never think about that. So in the new song I'm going to drop, even in, I try to put the medicine even at the candle. So even if it's an up-tempo song, party vibe, I'm going to be like, all right, so cups up. This is a toast. Me and my friends outside and we're doing the most. Cool. Everybody got to catch up. Yeah. We're doing the most. Outside, pandemic done.
Yeah.
Yo, we're out. I live my life because when me turn a ghost, I can't spend all of this money, can't take it, go home. So I live it up. Yeah, that is the code. Because all work, no play, and I brighten the bulb. Mm. So it's showing you how I choose to live.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, I make all this money, I can't take it, go home. I can't take it, go home. And all this work, I know play, now brighten the bulb. Meaning say, it make a burn out.
Yeah.
So, balance. So, I live it up. That is the code. And when I say, life is a celebration. So, you're not supposed to drink because you just make some money. You're not supposed to party with a friend just because you get a promotion.
Yeah.
You're not supposed to just go. You're supposed to celebrate, period, because you have life.
Mm.
So, that's all me, right? You know?
Yeah.
I have a perspective. Or, I'm just going to make music like everybody else.
But don't drink too much every day.
No. If you want to, though, like, I can't tell you what for you. Like, everybody have them vice. I smoke literally probably 20 at split for day. So nobody can tell me if I stop smoking.
Yeah.
So I can't tell you if I stop drinking. But what I can tell you is life is a celebration. So celebrate the life that you have. And if you value your life, you're not going to drink with your life. I'm sure about that.
Yeah, that's true, too. So what's next for Black Hero?
First studio album. I'm partnering with Delicious Vinyl Island for that. It's ready. It's finished. The first single is out.
Celebration. Congrats.
Thank you for that. A lot of good collabs. I've already said one, but I'm not gonna repeat it. And just beautiful music. Really bringing the music everywhere. Cause right now I'm having. The sadness I'm having is I don't have a clone. Like, every day fans would be like, yo, when you coming to England? Yo, when you coming to Canada? Yo, when you come Kenya? Yo, when you come over Israel? Like, it's just, you know what I mean? So the new mission right now is to get the show on the road.
And a stunt double.
And a stunt double, sure. And, just keep having conversations with the world. Keep progressing, keep growing and showing that growth and being accessible and having people access that growth. Because I just feel like before I transition from this space, there's going to be a few people that I want to say, like, yo, you changed this.
Yeah.
So I really want that. I really want, and I am really big on change. I'm really solution based. If I can't find a solution, I get so frustrated.
Yeah.
Like games, when I play games, if I can't zero the game, I'm not stopping. I'm not falling asleep until I beat that boss. That's just me, bro. I have to figure it out. Like, so, like, yeah, my girl, that's the mission right now. Continue to figure out this music, this life, and keep providing people with the tools for navigating to, whether it be music, a podcast, interview, artwork, whether it is music videos, whether it is an appearance and a performance, whether it is a book or an audiobook, like, yeah, just to continue that mission.
My last question for you is, why do words matter to you?
Oh, man, you're just going on a whole thing. As both as a coming up in a Christian household and studying the Rastafari faith right now and just being a student of Rastafari, you'd realize that both are actually like saying the same thing. Like, in the beginning was the Word. That's literally what starts the Bible. in the beginning was the word. In Rastafari, we say word, sound, power. So words translate to sound, which give you power. Words are very powerful, like extremely powerful, even more powerful than any other way you can think about. The power of the tongue, it being written on a page, it being thought in your head, it's an activation. Words are an activation spell. They activate things. So that's why in my music, I deliberately don't sing about death. I don't sing about crime.
Yeah.
I don't sing about anything that I wouldn't want in my life. I sang about the Grammys.
Came true.
I sang about performing and touring. Came through. I sang about being alive and being happy and celebrating it with good people around, you know? That's literally what's happening. I'm singing my life into existence, bro. So, and then I've seen the opposite effect where I see people every day get up and tell themselves that their life will not be better. And I've seen their lives over the last 10 years not get better.
Yeah.
So be very careful of these words, especially the English ones. They're full of trickery and double meanings, and sonically and like enunciation wise they mean different things too. So take it from a songwriter. These words are really powerful.
Yeah.
And to leave you with the last example, Vybz Kartel literally sang that he was gonna get 35 years, and his face was gonna be in every wall, in every prison. Take it from me, I know every Vybz Kartel song. He's now facing 35 years in prison and has now been transported through every prison in Jamaica. They've moved him from all of them. So he's been through all of them. So his face has literally been through. He's facing 35 years. That was the eye-opener for me. And that's my favorite artist in the world.
Yeah.
That's somebody that I look up to.
Yeah.
So I have to look up to that too.
Yeah.
Words powerful.
Words are powerful. And words matter, you know, like the name of this podcast. So thank you once again, Black Hero, for allowing me to interview you today. You know, it's a long interview. Actually, my longest interview to date, but, you know, it was a great interview.
Shit.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you so much. And everybody, check out all of Black Hero's music on all the streaming services, Apple Podcasts, Tidal, Spotify, Napster.
You can't bootleg it too, man, as long as I have it.
Yeah, LimeWire, whatever.
Yeah.
Check out the YouTube channel, check out social media. Where are you located on social media? What's your social media name?
It's Black Hero across every platform. And I mean, you can spell it regular because I've also made that change too. But BLVK and Hero with a tree. That's me.
Okay. Yeah. Everybody, words matter. Go like, comment, and subscribe on all the platforms that I'm on. YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts. Help me get up on those charts. And thank you. Words matter.